And when things get back to normal, if they ever do, is it going to be like before, or are people going to come back? Are people get used to staying away and they won't come back? We pray that people will come back. That people will overcome that fear, because the Bible tells us that perfect love casts out fear, doesn't it? So we don't need to fear. God has a time for each one of us, and we don't know that time he has to take us home, but we don't need to fear that if we truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Bring back our captivity. Bring back our country to normal. Let everybody get back to work. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Bearing precious seed. When I think of the word precious, you know, we have, because we're Gideons and we have the storehouse of Bibles that we distribute in our area, we have, I don't know, we probably have a couple hundred Bibles in our church and in our home, and probably you have a couple Bibles at home. You know, we are blessed with God's Word, and I think sometimes we take it for granted. I trust that you're reading God's Word every day, and if you have a spouse, you know, read and pray together every day. What a blessing that has been for my wife and I. But when I think of the word precious, we have a Gideon friend. His name is Bill Cromer. He's in his 80s now. He's a retired school teacher, and he actually spent some time in his later working years going over to Africa and helping the schools over there. It was a number of years ago now, but Bill was going over to, as a field representative for the Gideons. Now, the Gideons International paid his way, but he volunteered his time. Went over into the country of South Sudan. If you know anything about South Sudan, it's been a country that's been in turmoil for years, civil war there between the Christians and the Muslims primarily. A number of years ago, or maybe it's 10 years ago now, the people voted and South Sudan became an independent country. He was able to go over to South Sudan, visit towns, find pastors, and start getting camps. Well, he found that these pastors themselves only had, most of them had just a partial part of God's Word. They didn't even have a whole Bible. So when these pastors found out that if they could organize a Gideon camp with about five or six businessmen and you could establish a camp, then Bibles could be shipped into that area. So businessmen had to go out and borrow money just to pay their $5 dues for the Gideons. But, you know, as I think of the word precious, you know, just to have a part of God's Word and be a pastor, how wonderful it is that we have the Word of God so freely. And I pray we use it. Well, the Gideon ministry, you know, is about 120 years old now. Started by a couple salesmen. And we've been distributing God's Word for since about 1910, I think, is when they start, when they put the first Bibles in motels and hotels. But to date now, Gideons have distributed free of charge over 2 billion copies of God's Word, and we're now working on our third billion copy. But what a privilege it is for us to be able to give out the precious Word of God. The mission of the Gideons has never changed in 120 years, and that's one thing I love about the Gideons. Our sole purpose is to see boys and girls, men and women, come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And we do that in three primary different ways. We fellowship together for service, to encourage one another. We distribute Bibles all over the world. We're now distributing Bibles where Gideons are now in about 200 countries, distributing God's Word in a little over 100 different languages. And then also we are encouraged to be personal witnessing, giving out the precious Word of God. Now, that's giving out the precious word of God to those we come in contact every day. And that's just nothing, something for Gideons to do, but you have Bible tracts, you can purchase New Testaments, and you can bear that precious seed to others as well. You know, some of the first years, I graduated from Michigan State University, and so it's been a number of years ago, but every year the Gideons go to all the colleges in Michigan and do a Bible Gideon presentation. We give out New Testaments to the students. We at Michigan State, they like to have about 100 people, 100 Gideons come spread all over campus. It's all organized. We're on campus for about 3 hours, and we're there to give out New Testaments. Rarely do we have a chance to talk to people, but we hand out that New Testament. Even guys or girls going by on a bicycle once in a while, you can give one to somebody riding a bicycle. But I remember the first few years, and I went out there, I was thinking, you know, to be where you could give out, we normally be given a box of Bibles, you know, and it would be really great if we could give out 100 Bibles, 100 New Testaments. So I was in different places, different years, but this one year, I went out alone. I didn't have anybody go with me, but I joined up with someone who actually worked on campus. And have you ever been to Michigan State University campus, you know, where the statue of Sparty is? And there's a bridge there over the Cedar River. Well, we're assigned to that bridge. And so we stood on one side of the bridge, and this other fellow stood on the other side of the bridge. And we had very few students come by, you know. And more students were going on his side of the bridge than my side. So when we see no students coming, I'd walk across and we'd fellowship together. But what a blessing it was to stand there and see a student come by to my Gideon friend, and he would hand out a New Testament like this. People would reach out and grab it, you know. What a blessing that was. You know, God is not necessarily in big numbers. You people are faithful. You don't have a lot of people, but you know, Gideon's army was too big. You know, the power of one New Testament. I share a testimony with you that touched my heart. I'm going to read part of it because her words, she can express some of it in words that I better than I can, but this lady's name is Susan Punt. You know, that's like, you know, you punt a football. Her name is Susan. She says, "My story is filled with God's redemptive love, unending grace, and victorious mercy." She grew up in a family, a very loving family that loved her. They had everything they needed. They did everything right. They went to church. One thing they didn't have and didn't know about was they needed a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Susan goes on to say that when she was a senior in high school and she grew up in Wisconsin, the Gideons, some men called Gideons, came to her school, stood outside the door, handing out New Testaments, and she took one, and she said she was just overwhelmed that they would give her a New Testament, and she was really happy to get it. But what did she do with it? She took it home, put it in her dresser drawer. There it was. She said, "I didn't realize how precious that word was, and that it was the key to my salvation." But she goes on to say, a few months later, a girl in her school says, "Susan, if you were to die today, do you know you'd go to heaven?" And she said, "Well, I'm 99% sure that I would. I mean, I love my parents. I don't think I've ever done anything wrong to keep me from heaven." But those words worked on her. She went home and she says, "You know, I know how to find out if I'm going to heaven." She got out that New Testament and started reading. And she shares by the Spirit of God led her to the book of John. She started reading the book of John. In the book of John, she realized that she had never heard about repenting of your sin or trusting Christ as her Savior. But as she read those words, she wept. She realized she was a sinner. She repented of her sin and trusted Christ as her Savior right there. She went downstairs. She told her parents, she says, I know that Jesus died for me, a sinner. And they said, Susan, you're not a sinner. And she says, I was conflicted by that. But she says, I held on to the word of God and the truth of God's word. She said, from that moment on, she says, I knew this was truth. And so she said, I desired to get all the Bible I could. She went to Bible studies. She started going to the church, the Nazarene church that the girl who asked that question of her, she started going to church with her. She had made plans to go to a state university, but she wanted so much more of the Bible and the Lord that she decided to go to Olivet Nazarene College. The first day she was on campus, she met Gary, who became her husband. They dated for a few months and got married. God gave them two sons, and now they have some grandchildren. She shares that God was always good to them. And about a few years later, about 11 years ago, Gary was diagnosed with cancer. He went through surgeries and chemotherapy and all the others, she says, but God was still the same to us. She says, we deserved hell. God rescued us. This Gary was from knew Jesus as his Savior. He is from a family that loved Jesus, and God blessed them together. She said, this was the first time that they were truly challenged in their faith. Gary suffered about 7 years, and he was getting worse, and they decided to go on, take 5 weeks to travel some of the places they were familiar with. And they were at one place in Idaho, and Gary fell down and couldn't get back up, and she says, well, I think it's time to go home. So they went back to Wisconsin, and 2 weeks later, the Lord took them home. We drove back to Wisconsin. Let me read this, because her words are better than mine, but anyway. We drove back to Wisconsin, and 2 weeks later, Gary went to be with the Lord. The world can't understand this kind of love, but God never changed. I can count on him because he is faithful and true. Someone asked me what stage of grief I was in, and I thought about that. Denial? How can I deny a great God who loved and saved me? I can't. Anger? How can I be angry at God when he, in his own wisdom, brought me to a saving relationship with him? Bargaining? How can I bargain with God of the universe? What could I possibly give him? My filthy rags? My wretched heart? God cannot be bargained with. Depression? There are many days I feel sad, but I rejoice greatly in the Lord. I have learned to be content no matter the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need and to have plenty. I know the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether I'm well fed or hungry, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Acceptance? I accept what happened. I know God was in control of the situation. I don't know what the next stage of my life is going to be, but I know he is faithful and true, and he will never leave nor forsake me. When I feel sorry for myself, I look to Psalm 8. I insert my name there. Supant, who are you that God is even mindful of you? But God is mindful of me. His truth overwhelms me. That he thinks about me, loves me, and cares for me. She goes on to say, in closing, there are many Sues out there who don't even know they need Jesus. That Gideon handed me a testament long ago and changed my life forever. The moment I read it, I knew this was truth. Jesus loved me because of that single testament. My mom, my dad, my sister, all became believers. My brother also became a believer and now is a pastor. Every good thing in my life came from opening that testament. Because of the Gideons International, I get to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. For that, I am forever grateful. Do we know the power of one New Testament? You know, it's great to give out a whole bunch of New Testaments, but we never know which one of those will end up in a testimony like this. You know, there's a young man that grew up in India. He had two goals in life, and that is to know the truth in a country that has many languages, or many religions, I'm sorry. And the other was to have a good relationship with his father. And neither one of those was come true. When he was a teenager, his good friend committed suicide, and he decided life wasn't worth living, and he tried to take his own life. Well, while he was in the hospital, recovering from his attempt, God brought a Bible that had been given by the Gideons and started witnessing to him. He trusted Christ as a Savior, and now you know who he is, Rabbi Zacharias. The Lord took him home just shortly. What a great voice for the Lord. The voice is silent, but the message goes on. God is faithful. The power, it only took one copy of God's Word. And I encourage you, you know, give out the Word of God to those who come in contact with. It's been different these last few months because the Gideon work of the Gideons isn't as normal. But, you know, we can still give out those New Testaments. My wife is very faithful in doing that. I'm not as faithful as she is, especially these last few months. But I want to share with you what we were doing, when I was doing before this whole COVID thing started, in that every year we make our rounds to the motels in our area, and we have the South, we have Marysville and South is our camp area. And so I teamed up with Steve Sodden, who's been a Gideon for a number of years, but hasn't been very active, and we're working on getting him involved, and so I took him with me. We went to this, and people were praying for us, and what a blessing it was. We went to this motel that is in the defunct outlet mall there on Range Road. We pulled in and jumped out of our van, and just as the lady that was behind the desk came walking out. Now, I had replaced all the scriptures there a few years ago, about 3 years ago, I guess, replaced, give them all new ones. And we started talking with her while we were there to check to see if they needed any Bibles, need any replaced. If they're stolen, you know, we like to replace them. Just as we were talking to her, this car pulled up next, and a lady got out, and she says, and come to find out, she was the owner of that motel and one up in Port Huron on Water Street in I-94. And she says, we need 12 Bibles up there. So Steve says, oh, we got 12 Bibles. We'll head up there. And so they called ahead, and we took the Bibles up there where they're already waiting for us. And wherever we went, when we talked to the managers of those motels, they were really, they loved having those Bibles there. And like this manager, she knew how many Bibles they needed. And so through that experience, and we always had Bibles in the St. Clair Inn, so you know, since it's been renovated. I don't see any activity there now, but so we went back, Steve and I went back and went to the St. Clair Inn to see if we could place Bibles in there again. Well, we talked to the manager, this lady came out and talked to her, and she didn't give us a yes or no. So we didn't get permission to take Bibles in there yet, but Hopefully, we continue to pray that we will be able to put Bibles back in there. We did go to the inn on Water Street in Marine City, and Brother Keith had been there a couple different times and asked about Bibles. Never got anywhere, but we got the permission. But then the whole COVID thing, by the time I got the Bibles to take there, the whole COVID thing hit. And so we still have to put those Bibles in there, but we have permission to do that. I want to share with you just a little bit about scripture blitzes. Every year, and I don't know if it's taking place now, probably not, but we have what we call international scripture blitzes, where usually Gideons from another countries will come to the city. In this case, it was El Salvador. This took place in 2019. San Salvador is the capital. This is a city that's very poor. It's a city of 6 million people, very poor, with little income for families. A lot of gang activity. And there's a high rate of homicides in that city. But God is changing lives in that city. A number of years ago, a man by the name Francisco Ponch, he was an alcoholic, was out drinking, came home, found out his wife and children had left. There was nothing left in the house except a bag of dirty clothes and a bag of garbage. He was very depressed, so he went back to the bar and drank some more. Came back home and laid on the floor, looked up at the ceiling. All I could see was his children were gone. He decided to take his life, so he looked around for something, you know. But in one of those bags, he found his wife's Gideon New Testament, and he started reading it and was convicted of his sin and trusted Christ as his Savior. So now he joined the Gideons in 2001. During that time, the Gideons would gather together every morning and pray for the day's events. They went to one school, a few of the Gideons went in to ask permission to distribute New Testaments in their school, and the superintendent says, "No, I don't think I can do that. But if I have permission from the Minister of Education for the country, you can distribute scriptures." So one of the Gideons had gotten the name of this person that was in charge and called, I think it was a woman, called her and explained what they're doing and, you know, how the Word of God would actually help the students and help the country. And so she said yes, so she would grant that permission. So she gave the phone to the superintendent and talked for a couple of minutes, put the phone down. He says, "You can distribute scripture." So they were able to go into the schools and distribute God's Word. God is changing lives there. During that week, they were able to give out 79,000 copies of God's Word. And they were even able to go to the University of El Salvador, which is a very liberal college, and pass out Bibles there. Our theme verse comes from Isaiah 55:11. "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." You know, the Word of God is precious, and, you know, we never know when we give out that precious Word. How God will use it. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 6 now, There was a discussion about, because some people were following Paul, some were following Apollos. And verse 5, it says, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." So it's our privilege. It's our privilege to be Gideons, to give out God's word. It's our privilege to give to the Gideon ministry, to come and speak at churches and share the Gideon ministry with you. And we thank you for your support. There are ways that you can, I'd like to just share with you in closing, how you can support the Gideons. You already do in many ways, you know that. You can, we are always looking for new members, and membership is for business and professional people. That includes farmers, salespeople, but it excludes pastors. But you can now become a friend of Gideon's. We have the Gideon, you can go on Gideon's website, gideons.org, and tell you about the Friends of Gideon's. You can join to be a prayer partner or a prayer and financial partner that way. You can pray for the Gideon's, and I'll give you some specific ways you can pray. Gideon's are, like I said, are in about 200 countries. There's about 15 at least countries that we as Gideon's are praying for that will open this to the Gideon's to allow scriptures. One of those is China. China is not an open country. But if that country would open, I mean, there would be opportunity to give out millions of God's word. So we ask you to pray for God to open up new countries. And actually, a couple countries have closed because Gideons have taken a stand that marriage is between a man and a woman. And in the UK and Sweden, closed their doors now to the Gideons because of that. Pray that the Lord will break down barriers. There was a time when Gideons went into the schools, like this woman testified. And actually, what it's somewhat being done up in the thumb, the upper part of the thumb. The Gideons have permission to go into the schools and are giving scriptures in the schools. But we actually haven't worked hard to do that here. But you know, it's pretty well closed. So you can you can pray that those barriers will come down. Pray for Gideons in dangerous countries where Christians are being persecuted. You know, that includes the Gideons that are there faithfully serving the Lord. and pray for all the Gideons to be faithful. You know, and we do need new members. We're always, we haven't lost any. We lost one Gideon in our South Camp, but the North Camp has many older people, and they need new members too. The Lord's calling them home, and we need men to replace them. You've already been told about donating. You can use the bulletin insert there later if you didn't come today to give. You can give online anytime. You can go online anytime. And throughout the year, we encourage you to use the memorial Bible cards, whether it's a death of a loved one or you want to honor somebody with an anniversary or just honor your pastor as being your spiritual leader. And so you can use those Gideon cards throughout the year. Every $5 that you donate will purchase a Bible that has a lifespan of about 6 years in a motel. So we want you to know that when you give to the Gideons, every dollar you give to the Gideons goes to purchase and distribute those Bibles throughout the world. All of the expenses of the Gideons are borne by by donations and by our own membership that we pay every year. So I encourage you, you know, you're not getting, so you have tracts. I'm sure you have tracts out there. You can purchase New Testaments. You can be giving out God's word just as well as Gideon's. We thank you for supporting us, and just encourage you to think about, you know, who you can share God's word with. It is the precious word of God. It is truth, and it changes lives, and that's what all the Gideons are about. So again, I just thank you for the privilege of sharing with you this morning. I'll be in the back there if you have any questions about Gideon ministry. I'd be happy to try to answer those. So Jerry, I'll turn it back to you. It's been a joy to be with you.